Affairs today on August 12, 2003, and committee will first have a work session on consideration of speaker-approved bills, and then we'll then go into Senate Bill 899 and then Senate Bill 260 after that. So first open up a work session on possible consideration of speaker-approved bills.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Force.
I move LC Draft 3803 be introduced as a committee bill.
Representative Force moves LC 3803 be admitted as a committee bill, or introduced as a committee bill. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Close that work session. Open up a work session on Senate Bill 899. Representative Force.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 899 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Forrest moves Senate Bill 899 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Representative Monica Sanderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have questions. I'm going to be a reluctant yes, but I do have concerns that it's decreasing competition and it may cost Oregonians more money in the long run. I'm concerned that with we've gotten some information here that if the Portland company bid was $185,000 higher than the Canada company, and that was 6.5% higher, or 2 cents per plate higher than the Canadian bill, then if the Portland company had been awarded that contract, which it would under this bill, then Portland would have lost $16,854. Multnomah County would have lost $20,561. Wheeler County would have lost $72. Anyway, although this legislative fiscal losses are negligible and I'm a strong supporter of jobs in Oregon, I believe in the competitive process, and I would hope that the Department of Transportation, if this bill does go out, that we will look at the actual cost in the next 2 years as to the impact if this then goes to our Oregon company versus another company outside of Oregon.
Further discussion?
Just a point of clarification. Representative Monica Sanderson said that the Oregon company would have gotten the contract. Wouldn't they have just been allowed to rebid it? They wouldn't necessarily get it, would they? Can you answer that question?
My understanding is that with the 10% preference, that the Oregon company is within that 10%, and that then puts them so that they would have been awarded the contract because the Canadian company was, when you add the 10%, basically they would be a higher bid, or the Oregon company would have been a lower bid.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Barnhart.
Mr. Chair, I apologize for being late and for what I may have to say may be repetitive. I'm concerned about this bill and this process. The problem here that's not immediately obvious just from the face of it is that increasing the cost of providing license plates may actually decrease the number of jobs available in the construction industry as a result of reduced funds going to cities and counties for their construction work. So it's not a simple process. That makes this bill extremely difficult for me, and I'm At this stage, I'm willing to give it a courtesy vote to get to the floor, but I'm not going to promise I'm going to vote for it there. I still have things I need to think about as I look at this bill.
Representative Backman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think both Representatives Montes Anderson and Barnhart have hit on an issue that bothers me as well. It looks like we have, in the short term, immediately, a number of jobs that we could say would be saved. But down the road, there is a possibility of, because of loss of money to cities and counties, that there might be some impact on jobs down the road. So it's kind of like short term, it looks like it's a good yes, but longer term, it may not be such a good yes. But having said that, I think, again, I'm similar again to my colleagues, and I think I'm kind of a reluctant yes here, at least reluctant at this point, but I am going to be a yes.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess that I'm so swayed by our crisis and our people who are unemployed that it tends to color everything for me by saying that we just cannot afford not to take care of our own workers. And that may come at some cost. It shouldn't come at a tremendous cost. And I think competition takes care of that. And quite frankly, I'm hoping that this maybe creates some competition by having someone else to also enter the manufacturing field of producing license. But I am very swayed by us taking care of our own.
Any further? Those, I think, were all good points, and I, too, will be a courtesy vote out to get this to the floor. Still be a no vote on the floor, however. Interestingly, something that I don't think has been pointed out on the record, at least, yet. And, well, first of all, just to make sure that we do place on the record the August 11, 2003 letter from the Department of Transportation, and then also the August 12th letter from the Irwin Hudson folks. But not only the issue about, you know, what the ultimate fiscal impact of this bill will be to the taxpayers of Oregon, which I think is just abhorrent that, you know, we would move in this direction. But kind of on the other side, which was kind of interesting, and that's that there's a statute. It's ORS 279.029. And it's the reciprocity statutes. Oregon has it, as many other states have as well. And in essence, what we are doing by now putting in this printer's preference of 10% for this company, it means that any company that is an Oregon company that bids in other states that also have reciprocity statutes, and there are quite a number of them, with very, very similar language as this, is that now the Oregon company will have an additional 10% added on to their contracts with these other states, just by the sake of having this preference. So maybe in the short term, this allows this company to move forward and achieve, you know, a short-term gain here. But my guess is that in the long term, you know, they're going to have to pay the price with these other state contracts that they have. So let's call the roll, please.
Representative Backman.
Aye.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Close.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Berger.
Aye.
Chair Doyle.
Chair votes aye, and we will have Representative Tudy Smith be the carrier of this bill. And that closes the work session on Senate Bill 899. Mm-hmm. And we'll open up a possible reconsideration and work session on Senate Bill 260. Representative Flores.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 260.
Representative Flores moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on Senate Bill 260. Colleagues, as you know, Senate Bill 260 is the insurance credit scoring bill that we passed out last week. Since Thursday, and I want to acknowledge the not only the insightfulness, but the perseverance of our committee administrator, Janet Edmonds, for following up on this issue, but we found that there was language that was intended to prohibit the use of credit scores for rating purposes at renewal. Needs to be further amended to make that intention clear. The purpose of reconsideration is to bring the bill back to consider adoption of the B7 amendments. Are there any objections to Representative Flores' motion to suspend the rules? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Flores?
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which we pass Senate Bill 260.
Representative Flores moves we reconsider the vote by which we pass Senate Bill 260. Are there any objections? If not, so ordered. Representative Flores?
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the B7 amendments.
All right. Let's see. Joel Ario, can you come forward? Where did you get that?
I don't know.
Kind of clue us in on what we need to do with these -7 amendments.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, let me add to your praise for your committee staff. We've worked this bill so many times, and so many people have looked at it. Janet found something that nobody else had seen, and I think it's an important and necessary change in the bill. What the amendment does, in essence, in two different sections, it strikes a clause that, if it were left in, would create an ambiguity about what kind of rate increases are prohibited. With the clause in the bill, there's a possible interpretation that only an insurer who used credit at the first issuance of the policy would be prohibited from imposing future rate increases on credit. So let's say they didn't have credit in 1995 when the person became a policyholder, but went to credit scoring in 1998. Potentially, the bill, because of the words at issuance, could be read to say that that type of situation was not covered by the bill. So what we've done is struck the phrase that talks about, that limits the prohibition on rate increases to situations where credit scoring is used on initial issuance, and now it reads to include all situations where credit scoring is used. If it's used initially, it cannot be used on re-rating.
Any questions, Mr. Ario? Thank you for your testimony.
It was a great catch.
It was.
Any questions, any objections to Representative Flores' motion to adopt the B7 amendments? If not, so ordered. Representative Flores?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 260 to the floor with a do pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Flores moves Senate Bill 260 to the floor with a do pass as amended recommendation. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Backlund.
Aye.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Close.
Full time.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Berger.
Aye.
Chair Doyle.
And Chair votes aye, and Representative Close will still be the carrier of that bill. Closes the work session on Senate Bill 260. And colleagues, before you, there is a revised agenda to take on two additional issues. First, okay. All right, so stand at ease. Okay, we return to the Committee on Rules and Public Affairs, and colleagues, you see the revised agenda before you, and we'll enter into a work session on Senate Bill 5. Colleagues, the Senate Bill 5 is a... we are using this as an opportunity for a gut and stuff of this bill, and I do want to assure folks, I mean, this bill, Senate Bill 5 is the... what's been termed the Morris Burdick kicker bill, and that concept is still alive, I guarantee you. We do have another bill that's coming over from Senate Revenue to make up, I guess, for the loss of this bill, and Senator Morse and I'm assuming Senator Burdick as well are aware of this change and have not disagreed with this. What we're bringing back is baseball, and we found that there is no other way to get the baseball bill onto the Senate floor but for another vote of the House in this vehicle so that then we can have a direct concurrence on the Senate floor with this new version. And I think the one point to make as well is that there were amendments that had been made to the baseball bill on the Senate side. Our House Bill 3606 was then changed over so that with those amendments, the House would have to vote on it again anyway. And so those who might be concerned that the House would have to take a second vote on this, we were going to be doing it without regard to, I guess, what we are doing today. So we're just kind of moving it up a little bit, and we're hoping that we can get this out and get it over to the Senate side fairly quickly. So being in work session, I don't believe there's any need for testimony. We've heard substantial public testimony on the baseball bill. What I will commend to you, however, is an outline of, I think on the, it should be at the end, yeah, a few, right after the bill amendments, the dash A6 amendments, there is an analysis that shows what the differences are between our original House Bill 3606 that we had passed out and then the Senate amendments that were put into the bill and which we are now going to be adopting by adopting the dash 6 amendments. So, Representative, let's go ahead and move the dash A6 amendments to Senate Bill 5.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the dash A6 amendments to Senate Bill 5.
Representative Flores has moved to adopt the dash A6 amendments to Senate Bill 5. Any discussion? Representative Flores.
Well, Mr. Chair, this is the first I have seen these amendments. I have had a chance to look at the memorandum that accompanied them, but I haven't had a chance to read them yet. Could we take a couple minutes and just read them?
That's fine.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Will Representative Reeses, Representative Moss Anderson?
Thank you. I think the presence of a Major League Baseball team really could make Oregon a more desirable place to live and visit. But I still have too many questions. The ultimate liability we have been told that, boy, Oregon is not going to have any, they won't have to put in any money. It's going to create jobs. But I look at our inability to adequately fund public education, health care, public safety. We have an extremely volatile tax structure in Oregon. And I hope that in the near future the legislature is going to revamp its tax revenue sources. But if we decrease or eliminate the income tax or do anything with the income tax, this is going to significantly impact the paying off of bonds that would be set up, because the salaries of these players are their taxes are going to be paying off the bonds. So if the baseball players go on strike, if they, for some reason, they aren't making money one way or another, if the baseball team goes defunct, I still have just a little bit of trepidation there, and so I will be a no vote. But I love baseball. Okay.
Representative Close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, love baseball. And I want to say that the Corvallis team won the American Legion state championship. And my father used to be an American Legion baseball coach. So my concern is still about the mechanics of this and the funding of it. You probably saw a recent editorial column in the Oregonian that talked about attendance being down all over the country. Some of the less winning teams are starting to say, we think the only reason we're in business is so the big guys have somebody to beat. That concerns me. I can't remember the team, but they just had to let go their major player because they didn't have the revenue to pay him. So I just have reservations about this bill still. Thank you.
Representative Berger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I was sitting here listening. My son was the American Legion baseball pitcher, so I should throw that in. I watched the Mariners in New York the other night. I can't think of a better thing in the world to do than to either go to the game or watch one on television. I'm not going to be able to support the bill, though I really wish them well. I think I also would like to say that I congratulate them for the hard work. I think they've really worked a lot on this issue since we saw that last bill, and I compliment them on that. I'm just not in a position that I can support the bill, but
further discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Backlund.
Thank you, Chair Doyle. Well, I want to jump in here and say I love baseball too, but I'm going to vote for the bill.
That's all right.
And I think I'd say that in a very loud voice, a very positive voice. I think this is the right thing for Oregon, and I think there are guarantees for the taxpayer and for our state. And I think the benefits of what the baseball bill would do for us, the Major League Baseball team, the new stadium, the economic benefits while the stadium is being built, and after that, the economic activity. I think they all go together, and I understand the concerns. But at any rate, I think the concerns are less immediate and probably less threatening than the benefits that I'm sure will accrue. So at any rate, having said all that, I'm a loud, strong, enthusiastic yes.
Further discussion? Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I recall a long winter evening hearing that we held on the substance of this bill when it was in a different form, and feeling very skeptical about it and maybe even a little bit concerned about it from a couple of standpoints. I was skeptical about it because I was worried about the state becoming liable for paying for a baseball stadium that ended up not being able to pay for itself. And through the course of the evening, I became satisfied that the bill was written in such a way that that was not going to happen, that the ways in which the funding for the baseball stadium was structured, the state would be protected from that eventuality. That's a very important issue for me. As I look at this bill, the other issue that was important to me as I looked at the bill from the standpoint of the bill itself was that this bill appears to be one that will provide some substantial increases in the Oregon economy. I note the new Section 1A that's been added indicates that it's our wish that this bring jobs and economic development to Oregon and benefit Oregon workers and businesses. And of course, that's exactly one of the things that we hope for it for. And finally, I was expecting a lot of negative comment from my district on this bill, because after all, it's 100 miles to get from my district to the stadium, and I was expecting lots of negative comments about my vote on that evening, and I didn't get any. What I got were positive comments about people who plan to go and watch baseball being played in Portland. That, I have to say, startled and surprised me, but it reinforced even more my view that supporting this measure was the correct decision. It seems to me that the changes that have been made in the bill that are outlined in the section-by-section analysis that we have actually improved the bill a little bit, because they establish the section I just referred to. They establish an absolute cap on the amount of the state's expenditures. And they give the Department of Revenue rulemaking authority that I thought was implied, but obviously was not. So all in all, I see it as a good bill. It is a true bootstrap bill, because it uses funds to pay the state's share of the cost of this project that would not exist but for the project. And that's about as close to a real bootstrap as I can imagine, given that there is no such thing in reality. But this is as close as we can possibly get to that. And for those reasons, I'm going to, again, support the bill.
Thank you. Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that it's important in this discussion to reiterate that this is a framework to allow something to happen. And the phrase has been used twice now, but for this bill and this opportunity, there would be not the other opportunity for revenue to be created in the state. And this, as I understand this and as I have read through it as well, the state has no legal obligation to appropriate funds, and the measure does not create any debt for the state. I think that's important to note. The state's credit rating is fully protected. That has been brought up before, and I think that's important to note. The grantee, the team owner, and the bondholders, not the state, take the baseball risk. And I think that we need to remember that the grantee and the owner, not the state, make up any shortfall in the event there is one. Not a single dollar will be taken away from education, health, or any other general fund program, and no tax dollars from current Oregon taxpayers will be used. Those are important things for us to remember, because it is an issue that creates a lot of concern, and it's I'm about 50-50 from people in my district who say, right on, baseball, and can you believe that? So I will be supporting this bill, and I think it's important that, but for this bill, we would not have the opportunity for some of the long-term gain.
Further discussion, Representative Close?
I just had one question about the grantee. I'm still not clear that if the grantee is a local government, then if the local government is not able to meet their obligation, if the state is then liable because it's a government within the parameters of the state of Oregon.
I had a question. Ask Steve Cantor to come forward. See if you caught that, or do you need him?
Yes, thank you, Chair Doyle, Representative Close. Under the bill, the
for the
state,
record, Steve.
Sorry, my name is Steve Cantor, K-A-N-T-E-R, Grossman Park Law School, president of the Portland Baseball Group and a member of the Oregon Stadium Campaign. Chair Doyle, Representative Close. Under the bill, the state is absolutely not obligated legally or morally. The only obligation that it takes on is to transfer those new incremental income taxes that actually come in to the grantee. It does not have a legal obligation. There are many other examples in the state where some entity that is governmental other than the state issues bonds or takes on a project, and the state does not have an obligation.
Follow-up, sure.
But could there be a scenario that, suppose it was a county government, and to keep that county from going bankrupt, this is the worst case scenario, this state would feel obligated to step in. Could that happen?
Well, Chair Doyle, Representative Close, I suppose none of us can speak for what a future legislature might choose to do, but under this bill, there is no legal or moral obligation of the state, and there is no way for anybody to impose such an obligation. A future legislature, of course, can appropriate money for any cause it feels is worthy, but there's nothing in this bill that establishes any obligation for the state beyond the provisions that we've already discussed at some length. I might say as well that you're probably aware that among many others that have looked at it very closely, the Treasurer's Office has looked at it quite closely, and the Treasurer issued a letter July 29th saying that his initial concerns have been allayed by the recent changes and the work that's been done on the bill this legislative session.
Follow-up? Does the treasurer's son play baseball? You don't have to answer that.
No, but I'm thinking the American Legion team that you referred to might have some good prospects, and baseball will be benefited throughout the entire state.
Anything further? Thank you, Ms.
Thank you very much.
And I guess just to finish up on this, I was surprised at, I think, just the number of folks who, from across the state, frankly, that just consider this a frivolous bill, a frivolous issue for the state legislature to be dealing with. And that when we first dealt with this, actually it was in April, I don't know if it was winter, Representative Barnhart, but maybe spring training was just finishing up. But here we are now, you know, in the dog days of the season, and hopefully we won't be getting to the October, to the boys of October, by the time we actually deal with this issue. But we've gone through one additional revenue forecast since we originally heard this bill and voted it out. And that revenue forecast was a substantial decline in our economy. And we're about to come up to another one. We're only a couple weeks away now from having another revenue forecast come out that, from at least all the indications are, we're still going to be, we will be very lucky if it's a flat revenue projection. And this is an economy, a bill for the economy. It's a bill that, as our friends in the private sector industrial unions recognize, it's a jobs bill. And it's a huge number of jobs. And this is the kind of issue that the state government is responsible for helping out with if there's an opportunity to do so, and we have that opportunity. And it's not something that we ought to be playing politics with. It's not something that we ought to be looking to say, well, gee, my colleague or my district constituents just don't understand, and so I'm going to vote against it, because indeed that is our job. And we talked about this even last week with this insurance credit scoring bill. Now, this is our job, is to go through the facts and really dig out and see what the actual purpose of a bill is, and then to inform those constituents of, you know, what it really is, and get beyond the sound bites. And it's actually, you know, just the way it's been identified by different people throughout the state as being something that's frivolous, being something that we shouldn't be dealing with. To me, you know, this is what we should be dealing with. I mean, it's just kind of a jobs bill. So I'm proud to do it. I'm very happy that we have another opportunity to address this on the floor and to hopefully correct those misperceptions. And ultimately, when we start seeing a stronger economy in Oregon, I think we'll be able to point to this specific bill as the reason why we are getting out of that economic malaise that this state has been in. And the sooner we do it, the better. Call the roll, please.
Representative
Backer.
Aye.
Representative
Barnhart. Aye.
Representative Close. Both
no.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Berger.
Excuse.
Chair Doyle.
Chair votes aye, so the -6 amendments are adopted. Representative Flores.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5J to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Flores moves Senate Bill 5 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Backer.
Aye.
Representative Barnhart.
Aye.
Representative Close.
Votes no.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Mons Anderson.
No.
Chair Doyle.
Chair votes aye, and I'll carry the bill to the floor. That closes work session on Senate Bill 5. And open up a work session on House Bill 3627. And colleagues, this is another bill that we're coming up with a last-minute agenda. Might as well pop this one out as well. 3627, we actually do have the Dash 2 amendments represented for us.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3627.
Representative Flores moves adoption of the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3627. Colleagues, you may recall the discussion we had a few months back on this bill as it was originally described and presented before this committee. It was a combination of a prohibition on both state government agencies and school districts from executing collective bargaining agreements before funds were appropriated. And based on that discussion, there was at least a compelling argument that the school districts especially would have an additional burden that is not being shared by the state agencies. As we have gone through the various budget negotiations in this process, one thing that has come out of the difficulty in actually getting exact numbers for the budget holes and the financial holes that we have to fill, one thing that keeps popping out is the problem with our executive branch continuing to negotiate collective bargaining agreements that then we end up having to find money to pay for. Now, in this case, we saw the home health care agency employees be awarded an additional $25 million. And in this budget period, that $25 million is a pretty heavy price to pay. And now as a state, because this is something that our executive branch has negotiated, we are now obligated to fill it some way or another. And the way we're having to fill that budget hole is to start, if we can't find the additional money for it, we're having to cut additional programs. And so, too, we had another collective bargaining agreement reached with the executive branch and one of the other public employee unions to that ended up creating an additional hole in our budget. What this amendment will do is make sure that it is only state government agencies are not allowed to execute a collective bargaining agreement. And again, that word is it's a term of art, execute a collective bargaining agreement. They can negotiate everything they want to. They can come up with whatever triggers they need to. But when, as far as actually signing off on a collective bargaining agreement, that cannot happen unless the money has been appropriated to the government agency that the agreement deals with. This is an issue of good government. It's an issue of being responsible with the money that that we are assigned to take care of for our taxpayers, and I urge your concurrence. Further discussion? Representative Barnhart.
Mr. Chair, this bill is significantly different than the one that we heard with the Dash 2s. It's significantly different than what we dealt with before. I'm wondering if it's the Chair's intention to hold additional hearing on this bill.
It is not. And the substance really is not all that different. All we're doing is removing school districts.
Well, may I then inquire, do we know what the governor's view is of this bill? And if so, what is it?
I have not discussed this with the governor, and I do not know his view.
Okay. And then the last question I would have is, do we know what the views are of the various organizations that might be on the other side of a collective bargaining agreement, and whether this seems workable to them as they consider the other issues other than the state budget that might be might in some way affect their operations?
The record that I think was gathered with the original public hearing, the state union, employee unions, do not agree with this bill. Okay. Further discussion? Representative Moss Anderson.
I have problems with this bill because having been involved in bargaining both as a labor rep when I was a public health nurse and then as a school board member when I was on the Gresham Barlow School Board, I have a number of questions of how this could work, especially for those contracts that are longer than 2 years. I don't know if the state has contracts that go longer than 2 years, but I know at least in school districts we've had up to 4-year agreements that have come out, and that would mean that the bargaining contracts could only be for 2 years because that's how our system is set up. I just have, having this just being thrown at me, I just have too many questions regarding the overall impact, so I'll be a no.
Anything further? Call the roll, please, on adoption of the dash twos.
Representative Backlund.
Aye.
Representative Barnhart.
No.
Representative Close.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Montes-Anderson.
No.
Chair
Goel. Chair votes aye. Dash twos are adopted. Representative Flores.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3627 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Flores moves House Bill 3627 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Backlund.
Aye.
Representative Barnhart.
No.
Representative Close.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Montes-Anderson.
No.
Chair Goel.
And Chair votes aye, and I will carry this bill as well. House Bill 3627 is adopted and closes work session.
At the end of the agenda,
we are done with the agenda.
No, you're sure.
Let's want to sit around a little bit longer, see what else we can come up with.
Yeah. No.
With that, we are adjourned.